David.
Oh, it is? I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Okay, I'm going to let Tammy just talk about why she, what the basis for this is, and then we'll probably move on to Barb and let her talk about what she's been doing so far.
Okay, so Councilmember Deedy here. So in the city, we've had a few issues that have been mentioned at previous council meetings before about people coming in and camping or living on public right-of-ways, on public property, within their vehicles or in tents or makeshift shanties. So this is just a work study that we can look at and see how we can update our city ordinances. And I'll hand it over to Barb, and then I'll add a few things later on in that discussion.
Well, before you brought this up, the staff had already met to talk about the code and its, you know, its sort of gaps in terms of parking regulations. So the chief and Seth and I already sat and looked at some good examples, and I've started actually drafting new code language based on some of the examples we liked. So, and I guess one of the things that where we start from is all of the existing chapters of code that have pieces of parking in them and cleaning that up. And you know, we also might want to think about not so that the parking in and sort of is one aspect of it, but the people living in spaces that are not really habitable long-term living spaces, we might want to think about having that treated in a different section of code and not in a parking chapter is what I was thinking. Because even if there are, you know, we don't want people living in RVs and camping out in tents, even on private property, for any length of time. So.
Yeah, I just passed around to make copies, but just in addition, I printed out a couple items for the MRSC, and some of the camping ordinances are in the parking. So it all depends on where we want to put it, but
yeah.
Some of them are combined.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, but.
I just kind of think that that camping should maybe go, and I don't exactly know where, maybe in the building code, but yeah.
Councilmember D, so I think, you know, when I was talking to our city clerk last week, she thought that in other cities it's kind of spread out in their ordinances within Covington or Maple Valley. And to me that makes it hard for your police officers or your city code enforcers or even your council members or, for that matter, your citizens to figure out what the code is saying if it's spread out everywhere. So I think it would be helpful if somehow we could get it contained in one area where you could see on the camping part, like Barb, like what you're talking about, that everybody can see in that space. If you typed in camping, then it states there's none of this isn't allowed, this is, or however we could do that.
The other thing, too, the thought that I just had is if it's in multiple spots in our code, if we have a brand new section, then wherever it shows up in the other sections of the code, just refer to section, you know, 19.1, whatever that might be. And then that way you don't lose the integrity of that previous code, too.
Right. The cross-references are really important.
So we have, right now we have parking references in our chapter 8, 16 under nuisances. We have parking in our chapter 1004, we have a model traffic ordinance that talks about parking. We also have some language in chapter 1004-100 where we just have the pass, the annual pass for Lake Sawyer. And then we have a chunk in chapter 1010, public roadway parking restrictions, which is simply just the restricted area along Southeast 312. And then we also have some miscellaneous where we've actually adopted a WAC by reference that prohibits parking. So it's spread all over right now. And so, you know, obviously the best thing to do would be to probably, you know, draft a new chapter that's all inclusive, which is kind of what I started to do. And then we'd want to repeal and amend those chapters to remove the language that we integrated into our new chapter. And one of the ways in the parking chapter to that would be very clear is you just kind of limit the duration that a car or vehicle can be stopped or parked in public right away. So you maybe don't necessarily have to address the use in the parking chapter. And then you might want to look at the restriction of how long can somebody, like a temporary occupancy in sort of a different. So you could do it that way. And I think it would be clear to the police if they're working in this chapter 10 parking that, oh, well, we've got a car that's been here for, you know, in the public right of way for more than 24 hours. Therefore, doesn't matter what's going on inside. I mean, that may be just the way that I would think about approaching it. But
our goal, too, with parking was to reduce the fine. Because we're set right now at $100, and that's over double what any other jurisdiction I could find.
Just one thought, if you're going to put some of this into the parking regulations or put a duration limit, I don't know how officers handle situations where someone parks in one place for just up to the maximum period and then moves at one spot forward and parks there for, you know, it could become just a revolving situation.
I'm just looking at the city of Enum, kind of looking at what they've been doing and kind of talking to residents around there regarding parking and having in more of a sense, people or individuals that don't have homes that sit there and park all day long, and then they leave in the evening and they come back and park all day long again. And I noticed it as being a business owner now in Enumclaw, noticing the same vehicle doing the same thing. But I know the city of Enumclaw has different laws or rules about parking and having vehicles stay there for so long they have to move. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess I have to read more, but I don't know if that's something that we already have established?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, Councilmember D. So that was one of the issues that when I was talking to Commander Cola Giovanni, I think about that, everybody. his concern was, you know, like down by the bakery, the museum, you have all those spots down there. And if you have somebody that moves in to camp there and you say, you know, 24 hours, you have to leave, they just, like David was saying, they just move to the next spot, you know. Mm-hmm. So how do you solve that issue? And then what if you get more than just one camper? Now you've got, let's say, 8 people moving in and taking up all your spots and just shuffling around. So mm-hmm. we have to figure out how to do that, you know. And I'll give an example. Last September, Labor Day, my uncle decided to bring in a lot of homeless people. So he did, and they camped out on city property, and it went on for a few days before we turned it in, and the police came down and took care of that issue. But some of them were there in personal vehicles, and some were there on foot. So it's a big issue. And from what I've seen, when I'll just use my uncle as an example, when he got mad, he decided to take a different action and bring in more of his friends that he knows are homeless to cause a little trouble. So it is something that happens, and it's something that we need to be prepared for and deal with.
Councilmember Stout, is that on? We're talking really about dealing with homeless individuals who
are trying to find a place to just exist, but they don't have appropriate services that are going to make the rest of the community remain safe. You know, they don't have sanitary access. So are we going to deal with this specifically from a vehicle and a parking and a camping route? Are we going to go that way? Or is there more that we need to do? You know, in bigger cities, I know that they are working on dealing with these situations in cooperation with mental health providers and police and people who would help these people gain access to services. They may or may not want them. That's pretty typical that sometimes they're contacted and they don't want any help. But, you know, I mean, as a smaller city, is this where we begin, just starting with camping ordinances, parking ordinances, or do we need to go to another level to make sure that we're addressing what we're really talking about?
So with this work study, I was also going to bring up the fact that it would be good to work with our community center and even the surrounding cities on how they're handling this. Because you could have a mother and her children living in a car and not knowing where to go. And there's plenty of places. There's Maple Valley has the Find Maple Place that you could send. So I think that there's some resources out there that we can work together with that agency and say, you know, if on our city our police department run across this, can we send, can we contact somebody or send this person to you at a certain date or give them the information? So I'm not for just saying, excuse me, you're in a no parking zone and just send them off. But I think there's a compassion part there where I think a police officer or a city worker can pull up and say and visually see that they're in distress.
Yeah, so, and that's already being done.
Yeah.
Resources are already provided. That's not a need.
Yeah.
Councilmember Wisnowski, what about putting together a pamphlet or something? Remember how we talked about the welcoming committee pamphlet? What if we did the same kind of pamphlet with a list of services provided both by neighboring communities as well as the county and the state? Is there something like that already?
Yeah,
or?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah. We
okay.
Do. A lot of the UNFOS is the closest to the resources.
Okay.
We don't.
Okay. Like we have the churches here in town have the Wednesday night dinner.
Yep.
It is.
But
they're not building the shed for storage.
Yeah.
Yes, but sometimes you're going to need also the force side of the law, the enforcement side, to help the encourage or push people to, if they're perfectly happy camping in the house or in the car or vehicle, they're not going to move. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to have help. Both sides. So thinking about duration, I heard you talk about duration as, you know, one spot too long. Duration is part of it. If it's a derelict vehicle mm-hmm. or cannot, it won't even move. If it's, it just seems like a legally parked vehicle should also be licensed.
Yeah, current code requires that.
There may be some other criteria, but.
But and so then ultimately, though, we have to be. You have to think about enforcement.
Yep.
You know, it's one thing to put these regulations in place, but the enforcement piece is always the hardest thing. And if you're looking at trying to enforce this on people that don't have anything, it's going to be a losing battle. So, I don't know.
Well, and not only with code enforcement, it also comes money. Mm-hmm. So the council has to set aside money to say, here's money we're going to set aside for our code enforcers not only to enforce the code on building, but also on illegal camping and all that. So it comes down to money. One of my questions is, I think in our code we have something already that states, like, if you are bringing a camper or a trailer over to, let's say, visit a family member, and you're going to be there so long, you have to have a permit. Is that right? A permit. Mm-hmm. And then I think for each property, there's only so much you can put on a property for extended living. Mm-hmm. So maybe we need to upgrade that a little bit, too, and go look at that.
So are you talking about the right-of-way or private property now?
Private property. So, like, if I wanted to tell my family in Oregon, hey, I got a place you can have room for a trailer, you can just move it onto my property, you can live there, I don't think that's legal, or there's some sort of permit,
but if they're something.
That's fine.
Yeah, temporary use that's allowed, but it's defined.
You know, I was right. Passing around the city of Burlington to make that up. We don't think we have anything addressed with private camping in our code.
No, it's just it just talks about the RVs and being able to have a family member come and stay. And, yeah.
Well, because they do have that where there are travel trailers
that are being. Right. Right.
Down the corner
from me. Yeah. So, I got a whole bunch.
So one thing, you know, I know when I've talked to citizens, they're like, well, what about my kid camping out in the backyard? That's not what we're looking at. We're not looking at, you know, your personal family and you're camping out in your backyard. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about bringing in another residence that you're charging a fee or not charging to live off of your property.
Right. And we do allow for a second dwelling unit, but they have to go through the process, the permit process. And I think we're talking about people in the demographic that aren't really capable or able to go through a permit process and pay the permit fees and get, you know, established
lawfully.
Because
that would only be a non-mobile unit, right, for the ADU stuff?
Yeah, the ADU would be.
Non-mobile. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that the permitting process.
No, I mean, we haven't, but that's something we do need to look at that section of our code because it doesn't function well for other reasons.
The city of Redmond, there's a council member up there who, because it was a council member, could work his way through there, maybe he's permitting to do an ADU for his son, but on our grandson, and had his wife had to do it all on her own, she would have thrown up her hands and just given up. Mm-hmm. So it forced them to also revisit their code and their procedures on how to do it.
Tammy and I, and they fail to include the community centers in Maple Valley and Black Diamond, so they have set up a meeting in August, I don't remember what the date is, to revisit the homelessness issue and what Maple Valley and Covington and New Life Church, how they want to get involved with homelessness. So we will be having another meeting on that as far as homelessness goes and what kind of resources are available and how it's going to be handled since we really don't have resources ourselves. So we will be having another meeting, which will include Maple Valley Community Center and Black Diamond Community Center, and that's next month.
So, Councilmember Dee, so off of what the mayor just stated brings me to another issue. So what if one of our churches want to do a tent city? You know, what is our code? Because if that's so, I know Covington just went through this. So, okay, perfect. So, so maybe we can go off of what Covington has done and use that a little bit of an example so that we are prepared.
Is that, I mean, I think that is a tent city ordinance something that is...
Well, this is...
You,
archived vehicle.
And
Okay.
It's just
MOU. Oh, it's that they'll it's that they'll allow it.
The church is sold because you can't stop that from.
Right. Right.
So they don't want police enforcement. They want the church to be able to enforce the people that are coming to the.
And that's what this MOU is. The other thing is, the other thing are the tiny home villages, the little micro home villages. I was working with a landowner the other day, and he had, you know, kind of a difficult piece of property to build a large home, and so he started talking about micro homes and got kind of excited. He was, you know, like, oh, well, I, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could do, you know, tiny home village, and we have nothing for that, but that is another way. And I know in Olympia, I think Langley, and in Ording, they've been working on these kinds of places to, you know, provide some affordable living. That's
one of the ladies from the Mission came to the meeting that we went to. And she basically said that many houses don't work. Really? She said, really, you have to get the people employed and get them off of drugs. She said, many housing is not the solution to homelessness. The solution to homelessness is to get them either into treatment or get them jobs. Well, the Union Gospel Mission has beds, so there's... three or four, you know, like Vine Maple Place. There's a lot of places that have beds. If you agree to get off of drugs, that they will provide a bed and help you find a job, educate you to find a job. They have volunteers that help people learn how to find jobs. But even the people that are working, like in the stadiums downtown, that they can't be on drugs if they give them a job. But the whole point is to get them a job so they can afford to get out of homelessness and find some place to live in. And she just said, mini housing doesn't work. They just end up in jail.
So, Councilmember Deet, so was that your person that came in that talked to you wanted to do, was build mini houses? To
he was starting to go like down a, that route, yeah.
Like a mini house apartments or something?
They would. I think they would. I didn't get into what, but you know, it would be like, could you? It would be sort of an affordable housing solution.
Rather than just those sheds.
Right.
Well,
right.
Those that were going into Seattle had no plumbing. They were just
Yeah, this would be literally like little tiny little mini houses, but you'd allow for a cluster of them on one lot, and then you would be you know, you'd have another affordable housing, another diverse element in your housing stock.
So definitely, Mr. Councilmember B, that's something that the city definitely needs to look into immediately to start deciding. As a council and a mayor, an attorney and staff, where would we do we want to start allowing something like that?
Yeah.
Where would we zone that?
Yeah.
How would we handle that as a permitting? What's the permit for such a thing? I'm sure that's like a year's worth of research into that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference
between that and an apartment? What's the difference? I mean, if you're talking about a tiny space where people, not necessarily homeless people, but people of lower income want to live, is it really any different than an apartment?
Right, and I think they're actually cheaper to build.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then you got to think, you know, how many houses per acre of tiny houses do you want? You know, how... Do you want them, you know, on the empty lot in downtown, in Old Town? I mean, as a council, you got to start looking at where do you want, what do you want your city to look like, you know, and is it, you don't mind having 1 acre or just a city lot with, I don't know,
two or three tiny houses,
but five tiny houses on it, you know, I mean, so I'm not against tiny houses, but I think that as a city, we've already got codes for apartments, zoning for everything. So this is just one more element that we need to look at.
Yeah, I think we'll have to look at both tiny houses that are mobile and non-mobile.
Right. Because
There's both.
That's true.
I'm a huge fan of tiny houses and stuff like that, even though I couldn't do it with two kids. It drove me crazy. There you go. Right. when they're all moved out, you know, it'd be a great idea to build a big tiny house, then travel around the country with it. But it's not any cheaper than buying a big RV nowadays, right? So. But they've got some great designs out there. But it is something we should look at. It is something, you know, because it is one of those kind of trends in building and architecture to build small and that kind of minimal. So, hey, there are places out there that do them stick build also that are container built, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or that are prefab. They're really nice. I mean, there's some that are off grid that are really. I mean, you would never know if it was off grid, right? So.
But I think what we're dancing around is. We need to deal with not just a homeless issue. I mean, we're lucky right now we don't have a huge problem here, but we do have a low-income issue. And so I think we need to elevate it up a notch and say we need a plan. We need an integrated plan on how are we going to deal with our low-income housing issues, because right now the only place that's designated low-income is Cedarbrook. And who knows what that's going to turn into now with new owners, you know. And, I mean, I know people up there that are kind of worried because they're in older mobile homes, but they're well-maintained. So, what is that going to do for those people? But I think we need to look at it at this higher level of low income. Then under subset to that is the unemployed, the unemployable, the ones with drug or alcohol issues, and then we have to work that too. But we have to have a master plan first.
Well, I think we should start by protect the city and the citizens of the city first, right? And then kind of branch out from there. And we can start with how we protect, and then how we assist, right? And then how we help, and then how we kind of build the pathway forward for folks, right? Yeah. But we've got to protect the assets of the city. Which are the assets of the citizens, right? As well as the health and well-being of the citizens. So.
I'm not in my backyard person. I think that every community should bear the burden of whatever's going on in the community at large. But this is a regional problem. And, if you build it, they will come. So I think as we streamline our ordinances, we need to make sure that we are, as Councilmember Wisnowski says, protecting the city. We don't want to just open our doors. We also, I think, don't want to slam shut our doors for the vulnerable people who live here already. So we just need to be very thoughtful about the entire process.
So, Councilmember D, so I think that we gave you quite a list, Barb, to look at and work on. Same with Chief Kiblinger and our attorney. So I don't know much.
Do we need an ad hoc for this? Is this something we need to kind of get a couple people to add up?
I think an ad hoc committee would be good, because then you could meet with Barb and the chief of police and maybe the attorney at certain times during that meeting.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, we can be meeting to death. We have a public safety committee. We have a planning and community services committee. Mm-hmm. And now that you're here, Barb, we can resurrect that back
mm-hmm.
up again.
Mm-hmm.
I think, personally, I would rather keep it at that level, have the committees make the decision, then bring it forward to either a work study or the full council when you guys have a plan.
I think that if you went to just committees, that you would have one committee meeting, let's say it's the safety meeting. We hear a lot of different things, and just those meetings take an hour. So you might want to say, okay, our next meeting is solely going to be on this issue, because this issue is big. This isn't a small issue. This is a big issue. And And just leaving it into a committee is going to take a lot of time. It isn't just going to be a 10-minute, okay, well, how are you doing with that ordinance on this? It's going to take some time to go through it, to understand it, and then to move it out of that committee. So I'm for an ad hoc committee. I mean, tonight I'm going to bring up the ad hoc fire committee. Do we keep it or do we resolve it? So we don't have a lot of additional meetings outside. There isn't a bunch of meetings that we're all going to. So I think an ad hoc committee would be great for something specifically like this.
Yeah, I just thought that an ad hoc would kind of give that laser focus to that one subject. So
with all of that, I would think, is there anything else anybody wants to add? Or does Seth, do you have anything to add?
We've talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, we've talked about zoning, right? That it would be really good to say, okay, what are everybody's goals?
Yeah, exactly.
What are we trying to accomplish?
Right.
That's really, I think, where we need to start.
I think so too.
18 different ways.
It's,
right? It doesn't make any sense.
No, the issue identification really needs to be focused.
Yep.
What are the priorities? Right.
Having this whole big broad thing isn't going to work right now.
Right.
What are our real problems right now? I think it's internet code.
Yeah.
Parking, camping, albeit, I don't think it's that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
If we get what you guys want, it's a matter of just putting it together.
Yeah.
Homelessness, yes, it's a huge issue.
Right.
And low income. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot more broad, and there's really not.
So.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think our topic today is exactly what you're talking about, is clean up the code, protect the city. The other off topic is the fact of homelessness and what are we going to do about it. But we've already got a regional committee that's working on that. So it seems for us to have another ad hoc committee would just add confusion to the issue. Because if New Life Church wants to go ahead and spearhead this issue and get the community centers involved and maybe even Vine Maple Place, then I think we already have a regional committee that's trying to deal with these issues and not invent another committee for us to have to communicate with other people that are out there.
Well, you could even actually consider that to be your ad hoc committee.
How representative, as a city, I don't think we can legally regulate them.
Well,
yeah, there's certain provisions in your code to address.
We're not
but
we're not going to.
And I didn't, Councilmember D, I didn't think that we were talking about how to end homelessness in Black Diamond. Not by a long shot. What I heard us saying was, how do we get all of what we talked about already, the codes for cleaning up our own codes right now, adding new ones. We talked a little bit about the building part of tiny homes, which are movable, which add into that component of parking your car or your tiny home in a spot on city right-of-way, in city parking lots, on city property. How do we get all that and work through that? And yes, the church is going through on the homeless issue as a whole. And we're discussing on how to handle that in each of our neighborhoods. But we're not talking about that here on how to handle a homeless person or homeless child that's surfing on people's beds. We're not addressing any of that tonight. We're just addressing all the parking issues and the camping issues. And everything that we've talked about gears into that. So with an ad hoc committee, I'm fine with. But if the city employees don't feel that that's worth our time and that you could come forward and just say, hey, we've worked on this. What do you guys think? Let's have another meeting and let's go through the changes that we've done. Here's what we've done. The chief's on board. The attorney's on board. The mayor's on board. Barbara's on board. Do we move forward from here? So I think bringing up an ad hoc committee meeting is worth discussing. It's not shameful that you brought it up. It's good to have that discussion. Whether we're all for it or not doesn't matter. it's in there and you can discuss it because it's something that the council has a right to do. Now, I think that when Barb goes back to her desk and she looks at all this, she's going to get a hold of Seth and the chief of police, Jamie, and the attorney and mayor, and she's going to go, okay, let's see where we're going to start. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to come back to the council and you're going to say, here's where I think we are. I think maybe when we discuss an ad hoc committee, that might be good, or I think we're doing really good and we're ready to go forward.
I was just thinking that I think it would be nice to have those enforcement tools. Whether yeah. that's when do we have like the right to tow mm-hmm. a vehicle mm-hmm. After so many days? So you can a code compliance officer has that guidance as to when do you ticket, when do you tow, when can you evict it. Yeah, and you still have you guys still have a lot of flexibility when you're if there's people living in there. Yeah, you don't. You can't tow it.
Their home?
That's a hard place to put them in, right? Because literally you take make them from homeless living in a something with a hard top on it to homeless.
We had that issue last
living on the sidewalk.
Out at the same person living in there.
Well, let's make something clear. Even before Tammy called this meeting, staff has been working on this code issue already previously. Right. So that's their job.
I'm okay if the staff want to get together and come back and say, yeah, maybe an ad hoc is needed, or no, I don't think we need an ad hoc.
And
I think if we leave it up to Barbara, that's fine.
Development committee meeting. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about continuing those now. Mm-hmm. And so whoever is on that committee, I think Melissa's one of them.
Yeah, you two are on that. No, we're gonna start.
I do have some. I mean, I hear everybody's talking. Councilmember Oglesby here. I hear everybody talking about all these ordinances and our rules and our things that we want to do. I want to look at local other cities like Enumclaw, Covington and Valley, but other cities that are going to be as large as we are, maybe in the future will be, and what the hell they're doing with their people living in vehicles and what their codes look like, because we're going to be matching those mm-hmm. size of a city here very soon in the future. And I think once we get our codes a little bit similar with how they're doing and what's working for them and what's not working for them, then our codes can be a little more easier mm-hmm. to draft up. I personally don't agree, you have a homeless person living in a vehicle, yes, that's their home, but they're parked down at the bakery and they're there for 24 hours. I mean, that's, businesses, it's public, it's, restraining on the our businesses and people coming in, and what does, Chief do with that? What do we see? I think that's what I'm hearing is a lot of great ideas, but I'm not hearing, okay, what I feel like we need to be hearing is, okay, what are the steps? Step one, two, and three, this is what we do when we come across a vehicle that's been sitting here for 24 hours and someone's living in it. Or what do we do if people are camping in my backyard or just beyond my backyard in tents? What do I do? How do we handle that within our city limits? I think there just has to be those clear black and white rules. This is what happens, this is what we do, and this is the steps we take.
So,
and looking at other cities and how they handle that.
So, this is just a meeting on where we need to go. Our next meeting would definitely be where each one of us would come back and say, I'd like to see a ticket after 24 hours or after 48 hours. Now, last week, I got a hold of Brenda. Brenda and I discussed all this. Brenda did, our city clerk did get a hold of Maple Valley and Covington. There's a spread out within their ordinances, so it was too hard for them to just say, okay, what do you want? And Brenda's like, well, they're just starting, so I don't really know which direction. So it was too hard for them to just send us over everything when it's spread out in their codes. So what they suggested was when your council knows what direction they're going and they're firm on something, send it to us and we'll find that part of our code and say, here's what we're doing, here's how it's going, or here how it isn't going. So at this point, I think the council needs to stay within its bounds, stay within its city, and think of what we want to see and say, I want to see if somebody's living in a parking stall down in Old Town and they've been there a week, I think it's time for them to leave, you know. So does the city, does the council want to say 48 hours is our max, you know, or 24 hours? Or as far as camping on a right-of-way, I've seen them camping down by the library out there in the woods part. So on city property. So, you know, do we have a zero tolerance for that? Do we just say once the police spots that or a citizen spots that, the police go right down? Or do we say the police department goes down there or a code enforcer goes down there and says you have 24 hours to vacate this piece of land? So that's where after this meeting we have to come back with what we want and state that.
Yeah, and I think that where it's really would be helpful for us as staff to start with is get an understanding of are we more concerned about public domain or private land? Because is the issue kind of what we started, I think, talking about is, and I hear a lot of, we have a problem of how our public right-of-way, our public domain is being used. If that's,
I would say let's start with the public, right? Because that's, we've got to protect the assets of the city. We've got to protect the citizens of the city, right? And starting at public is the best place to start. Private land is a different subject, right? Usually they're there by choice, right? There's somebody's son, brother, cousin, friend, right? And that's a totally different subject in my point of view than just someone putting up a tent on a right-of-way under a power line somewhere.
But we're talking a big elephant here, and we need to get the little bite-sized pieces. So I think doing the public right-of-ways and all of that first is a really excellent idea. I think what I would like to see before we meet again is some draft ordinances. And then, or ideas at that point, we can communicate via email, and then that way, when we get back together, we'll have that straw horse to work on. And, you know, given that we get it in advance, we can all look at it and have comments ready to go. And then, you know, start at step one and then just start working through it. Make those as best as we can make them. And then we can move on to...
She keeps giving you stuff to do.
Well, you know, the other thing that I might recommend is look at the city of Redmond, because they just went through this last year. It went through a lot of this with the churches, with, you know, ADUs in their backyards and all that kind of stuff. So,
but we won't be talking about the ADUs.
No, I understand. I know. I understand that right now. But they've got, we need to get the code done first.
Right.
And let's set the parameters. And once we've set the parameters, then we can take it down.
Right. And it'll be the code in the public.
Right. So, like the trails and things and the bikes that people are going to be using here very soon.
So once we move from there and you get that done, then we move into the private part.
Yeah,
and the private part is like a good example would be the library, who they've had issues with homeless people parking in there. And at first they granted them permission, but then they brought in a lot of garbage. They called the police to remove them. So, maybe you could correct me. Was there an issue with enforcing that, or I can't remember when I was talking to Larry about that.
I'm not familiar with the case.
Okay. 95% of people will volunteer. So, in the case that I was talking about with the family, it was on city right of way and the school property. So they were having issues with that. So there does need to be something on private land. You know, I know that it's a touchy area.
The camping is addressed in those cookies.
Yeah.
But you also got to remember public safety is, in that instance, I can't even tell you where they were using the restroom, where they were going, you know.
Right.
And even if it's on private property, like Chris was talking about, that around the corner, you've got people living in trailers that don't have connections to sewer or water, and you got people living just on the land. So those are public issues as well. Those are public safety issues, public health and everything. So those are just as important, but I agree, let's start with the city right-of-ways, the city public land, and then we need to move right into that as well.
The problem with the private land is you kind of have to balance that private landowner rights versus public health, right? And that's the big concern. It's not that we don't want to look at your trailer that you've brought in for your nephew, right? It's the fact that we need to make sure that it's a healthy environment for...
And it's in the code.
Yeah.
Because right now, that property's not coded.
Right. Mm-hmm. And with that private right-of-way, would that include, like, business properties, too? I mean, you're talking about the library, public right-of-way, okay. I think of the businesses, too, you know, when they have, like, you're talking about the library and people camp around there. That seems important to us, too. It's just as important because that's our revenue. That's our livelihood. That's our how we're making money. So, in a sense of private, you know, right-of-way.
Well, most of the private land stuff is a trespassing issue, right? So, in other words, if they're not invited... Right, and it's private property, then it's a trespassing issue, right? Yes. What is the code or the statute on squatters? So how long do they get to be there before they consider, do we have that in the state where they?
Trespassing laws, but squatter laws?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you mean by squatters specifically. If you're on somebody else's property, it's trespassing.
No, but if like so, but in this state, if let's say you have a house that you're not using, and squatters come in and move in, right? And they get there so long. There's a certain amount of time that they've been there that you have to go through kind of an eviction process.
That's civil, yeah. So we wouldn't deal with that.
Okay.
Councilmember D. So anytime, so if you invited somebody onto your property and the next day you wanted them off, that's a civil issue now. They don't need to leave because you invited them. And the court would tell you that you would have to go. It's a court issue. You would have to evict them just like you would anybody else. So I just went through this. So the judge told my dad that you invited him. It's now your issue. He has the right to be there. You can't just tell him to leave. Correct. After what they didn't give a time. So.
Yeah. I have another question here. We were told also, she hears this, displaying vehicles for ourselves, too. Is that something we're discussing during this work study also?
So that would be a different issue because in there, I know Larry sent an email talking about selling cars on public right-of-ways and stuff. I think that would fall a little bit under parked car sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
It would kind of go under all this.
Okay.
So,
We actually already have adopted a WAC that prohibits that type of use.
So.
It's just that we reference that we've adopted this WAC and nobody would really know what that meant unless they looked the WAC up. So, I mean, it's simply a matter of let's list these things that are prohibited consistent with the WAC that we...
But I have seen that more frequently throughout the summer, just recently happening. I'm very familiar with it. But just how does that work and what is it doing and what's the role of that?
So, I mean, I think we start with something that we can manage and we work our way through it.
Yeah.
And enforce, it's going to come down to really, as Councilmember Deedy said, the enforcement for violation. How do we can adopt the rules, but when we need to actually enforce them, that's going to take resources.
Right.
And we don't have the resources. I mean, making idle threats is not helpful at all.
No.
So,
but you also need the policy that stuff holds back up with that.
So I think focus is public lands for now.
Mm-hmm.
And after we get through that, we'll look at the private land issue.
Do you want to do this through a series of workshops like this?
It seems like it would be just from what I'm hearing. You and Seth, and I'm happy to help as much as possible, put together a package of code fixes, pass them out
ago? Right. And then I would assume it would then go to the finance committee, decide on what the cost would be of a fine, and then move out of the finance committee with, here's what we looked at for fines, or would it just be...
Why wouldn't you just keep it?
The city, the staff would look into and decide what they would like to have the fine be, which is fine with me.
But then I think you should, you know, ultimately it should come back to probably...
So I think our kind of our focus for you guys is to, you know, look at the public land issue, protect the assets of the city, protect the citizens, both and the public health. I think that's kind of the it's kind of the gist of what we want them to work on, right?
Yep.
A good start.
Yeah.
All
good
right.
I make a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.